We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Can I just give you a hand clap? You know why? Because y'all are out on a holiday weekend serving God. Hey, that is so good. Let me tell you, this is one of those weekends, the inside baseball talk here. It's a little deep, dark secret. Most pastors take this weekend off. There's many pastors that take this week, and there's many people that take this weekend off, but not you guys, because you wanted to be in God's house, and you're in God's house today. And so why don't we just experience all that God has for us today? What do you say? Excellent. We're going to do that. We are Redemption Church in Plano, Texas, and I'm so glad to have every one of you with us. Everybody watching, listening online, thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm glad to share the Word of God with you today. We are in our series called The Promise, and we've been talking about four promises that will save your marriage. Four promises. Our goal is to save future and current marriages and also bless your relationships with godly wisdom. We think that that is a broad enough spread that it hits everybody. Anybody have relationships? Anybody not have relationships? I think that's everybody. And so we want to preach to you today about this. All right. Number one, promise number one we talked about was God is my one and my spouse is my two, that we are supposed to be seeking first God in all things. And the healthiest marriages have both partners reaching out to God and then loving each other in the obedience of God. And then promise number two we talked about last week is I promise to always pursue my two. Even after that you've gotten them to marry you, you still date them. You still love them. You still celebrate them. You still put on cologne for them. You still cook for them a nice meal and let them know how special they are to you. We've got to keep pursuing one another, all right? Number one was priority. Number two was pursuit. Today, I want to start with a prophetic word. Perhaps you know this one. Here are the words. It's, I take two steps forward. I take two steps back. We come together because opposites attract. And you know, it ain't fiction. Somebody help me. Just a natural fact. We come together because opposites attract. Which Old Testament prophet are we pulling from today? So old that it's the 80s and it's... Somebody help me. Somebody. It's Paula Abdul. That's who it is. That if you know the music video, it features a cartoon cat. I had no idea what the song was about, but I thought it was cool that it had a cartoon cat in the 80s. All right, this is a very famous song. It's also a famous idea that opposites attract. And this is absolutely true when we're dating. When we're dating, we go, it is so neat. They are so laid back. It is so cool. They just are so funny. And I'm not like that, but that's how they are. And so we celebrate the opposites. However, when we get married, we have to be really careful because then opposites can attack. When we were dating, it was like, they are so laid back. And then when we're married, if we're not careful, we'll be like, they are so lazy. Right? Y'all got me? Right? They are so funny and like they can't take anything serious. You can't sit them down and have a serious conversation with them. So if we're not careful, we will go from celebrating what makes us different to attacking each other about what makes us different. I want to tell you today that differences enhance relationships. Differences are good. And God uses differences to diversify us. Everybody say diversify. However, there is an enemy that wants to attack you and your relationships, and the enemy uses differences to divide us. And there is a fine line between finding a diversification and an enhancement through our differences and being divided because of our differences. With that said, our promise number three today is I promise our marriage will be about we and not me. Will you say that with me today? I promise our marriage will be about we and not me. Every week of this series, we've gone to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. We're going to do it again. The verse says, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Somebody say one. The Hebrew word for one is ikad, and it means united. It means completely joined as one. It means even numerically one. And so what was two becomes one, according to Genesis 2 and 24. What does that mean? That means it's not anymore you and me, but it's we. And it's a singular we. Somebody say, we, not me. Now, before I go any further, I just want to go address the elephant in the room. We are sensitive about the subject of divorce. And we do not judge anybody in this place who has been through a divorce. Let's just get that out of the way right now. We're not here to judge you about divorce. Is that right, Redemption Church? We're not here to judge anybody about that. In fact, here's what I would tell you about all of that. You cannot change your past, but you can change your future. And we want to address your future today. Somebody say amen if that sounds good to you. So we talked about Genesis 2:24, and there's some really good information, but wouldn't it be great if we had somebody give us a little bit of commentary on it? And Jesus does that. Jesus quotes Genesis 2:24 in the New Testament, and as he's quoting it, he reveals even more information for us, and we're going to look at that today. Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 5, Jesus says, quoting Genesis 2, he says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Verse 6, this is his commentary. This is what he has to teach us about it. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. I want you to understand that Jesus is really doubling down here on this idea of no longer two, but one. Not two people who are living in a home together, one person building a life together. No longer we, but no longer me, but we. Thank you. What God has joined together, I want to ask you today, answer this in your heart. Do you really believe that? What God has joined together, that God is the one that has joined us together, that God is the one that took two really broken people and made one really broken person. Oh no, one really happy person, one really peaceful person, one really joyful person, that God has joined. Do you really believe that about your marriage? I want to impress you today to get abnormal. Somebody say, get abnormal. You might get a little weird. Somebody say, weird. I want to tell you, you know what is normal today? Divorce is normal today. Adultery is normal today. Open marriages are normal today. Is that all right? Can we preach a little bit? You with me? Regina's with me. Living together, unmarried, that's what is normal. Abuse is normal. Objectification of women, that's what is normal. Emaciated men who are weak, that is what is normal. We could go on and on and on about what is normal. I would tell you that it's time for us to get abnormal, that it's time for us to get a little different, for us to live differently, speak differently, treat each other differently, not as the world is treating us. Are you with me today? So I want to tell you that marriage is a covenant and not a contract. Marriage is a covenant. Do you know what a contract is? A contract is based on mutual distrust. Say you go out and buy something. What's something you might buy that you would get a contract on? Somebody's a car or a house, right? You are literally sitting at these nice people. They're dressed really nice. You're at a nice table in a nice office. They're like, oh, would you like some water? And you're like, they're getting me water. They must really like me. They're getting you water. And like, oh, and would you like a little snack while we wait and we sign your name 60 times in a single document, right? And you're like, oh, they must really like you. And then you're filling out this paperwork. You know what that paperwork really is about? A contract is based on mutual distrust. Those people that get you the water and they get you the snack and they're treating you really nicely, they don't trust you at all. They don't trust you so much. They're like, if you didn't quite write your name Chris Fluitt clearly, they're like, sorry, Mr. Fluitt, could you rewrite that a little clearer? Because we want to make sure that when you do not pay your bills, that we can show this document in a court of law. Because they don't trust you. A contract is about distrust. Y'all understand me? It's to actually protect someone for the eventual situation where you do them wrong. We believe so strongly that you are eventually going to do us wrong. We've got to get it in writing over and over and over again and keep this contract on file, because it's only a matter of time till you don't come through for us. If you've ever rented a house out to someone, if you've ever tried to make a deal with someone, you realize how you have to have a contract, because a contractual thinking, a contractual way of living is actually built on distrust. I would tell you that most of our marriages that are tanking and they're going towards divorce, part of the reason that they're going on divorce is they were not built on the proper foundation to begin with. They were built in contractual language. And when someone doesn't keep their end of the bargain, I expected this every day. And I expected you to look like this every day. And I expected you to provide this every day. And when you don't do those things, there's the contract, buddy. We are through. Contractual obligation is built on distrust. Do you want your marriage built on distrust? A covenant. Now listen, here's our next line. You see it. A covenant is based on mutual commitment. Now, what it's not built on is mutual trust. I'll let you think about that for a second. Because your marriage, even when someone breaks trust, doesn't have to disintegrate into a million pieces. That might not be popular today, but I'm telling you that when someone falls short, they can still be loved, because your marriage was not built on their perfection. Your marriage was not built on their good looks. Your marriage was not built on how much money they were bringing in. Your marriage is built on a mutual commitment, that you are mutually committed one to another. And that is what makes for a rock solid relationship. Contract mindset, it leads to divorce. Stop me if you've ever heard this one. Marriage is just a piece of, who's heard it? That is contractual thinking. Marriage, who needs it? It's just a piece of paper. We can live married without that. That their whole thinking there, they shouldn't get married if that's what they think marriage is. They're into a contractual mindset. And then when they get to a divorce settlement, what is it? It's a lot more paperwork and it's a lot more contractual work. And what is mine and what is yours? And all that comes together at the divorce. And suddenly it's hard to settle. It's hard to separate what God's made one. You talk about painful. What God has joined together, when we try to break that apart, pull that apart, it gets really messy. And there, the lives of children are at stake. But I would tell you that if you've gone through divorce, you know that there is a serious hurt that came from that separation. That contractual thinking will pull us apart, because it's ultimately built on what word did I use? Distrust. And this is what Jesus taught. This is what he taught here, that we need to be built on a covenant, a marriage covenant, not a marriage contract. He said, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Somebody say, we, not me. I promise our marriage will be about we and not me. How many know that we're all kind of different? Especially me. Then everyone said amen. I'm really kind of different. Thank y'all. I'm a different guy. I'm a different guy. Like, you guys are awesome. I have to live with me every day. Y'all pray for me. But we are different. We have different personalities. Like, how different are our personalities, right? Think about our personalities. Who's really outgoing? Ashley and Adrian? Like, no, I'm kidding. I'm already embarrassed them. I shouldn't do that. Who's really outgoing? Me and Regina, we can throw the parties. Who is not outgoing? You're more of the introvert. Like, I love my introverts. Thank y'all so much. I shouldn't like call you out in the middle of service. Sorry. Apologize that. But we have these different personalities. Guess what? So between me and Sarah, which one do you think is the introvert? Which one's the extrovert? We've got the opposites attracting here. She is the introvert. I'm the extrovert, right? And we fit together perfectly. Our differences actually work in our life. Our temperaments can be different, right? How about our strengths? We've all got different strengths, and they are different. Some of us are very creative. Some of us are like, give me a to-do list and I'm gonna just knock it out. Some of us are incredibly disciplined. Some of us work with that. Some of us have different skills in our life. We have different minds. We think completely differently about certain things. We can see the same picture or hear the same song and feel differently about it because we've all got different minds. And then, of course, our experiences, everything that makes us who we are in the past. We are completely different, you and me, baby. Although we're different, although we're extremely different, we come together and God makes us one. He joins us together and he makes us one, right? I want to talk very quickly about a verse. We're going to pull out a verse that some have used to abuse. We're going to talk about that for a moment. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Now this verse, I'll let you decide if men use this more than women in the abuse. Let's see. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, which he is the Savior. Now, when I read that verse, it seems like a one-way kind of road. Does anybody see that? Listen here, wives. Listen to me, your husband, right? Okay. It also is kind of I-centered, right? Where you would say, I am the head, me-centered, not we-centered. If we're not careful, and this verse, I'm telling you, absolutely has been used that way. Well, you got to listen to me because I am the head. What I say goes because I got a verse that says it. And it's amazing how people will live life not touching a single verse, but then they'll use the one verse that uses them, that they can use. I've seen that. I've been tempted to do that a time or two. So what do we do about this verse? Well, this is the Bible. I would suggest that we devote our lives to understanding the Bible. So what I would tell us to do is let's read one verse earlier. What do you say? Verse 21. One verse earlier, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's the verse right in front of this one. And when people are using verse 22 to kind of throw down a gauntlet of, listen, I'm the man around these parts, you got to listen to me. They also need a little bit of verse 21 in their life. And usually a little bit of scripture can get you off track. It's true. We got to fully understand scripture. Y'all follow me so far. Is that all right? I'm not telling you not believe scripture. I'm telling you believe all scripture. What we have here is a mutual submission. What we have here is a we, not me scenario. That's what this verse literally preaches to us. What this tells us is to take advantage of one another's strengths. To submit to one another's wisdom. To listen to each other. That's what this verse tells us to do. How many thinks that this is a good verse to know? Yeah, absolutely. I submit to your choice is part of this verse. It's completely we and not just me. All right? So now, knowing that this is where it starts, now let's go to where it goes. Verse 22, what about that headship? Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. So let's talk about the husband being the head. The husband is the head. Now, some have used that. I'm going to just tell you. You want unhealthy relationships in marriage? Abuse. Control. Where the husband makes every decision. Where you can literally win every argument by quoting a verse. That's how this verse has been used. Right? So husband is the head. Some have used that verse. But the husband is the head as what? Verse 23. The husband is the head as what? As Christ. So it's not just a carte blanche. Here's your choice. No, you are the head of your wife in the same parameter that Christ is the head of what? The church. As Christ is the head. So now let's apply your headship to Christ's headship. How is Christ the head? Is Christ abusive or controlling? Let's even be louder. Is Christ abusive or controlling?
No.
Is Christ loving?
Yeah.
Is Christ caring? Is Christ serving? Does Christ bend his knee to us to wash our feet?
Yeah.
Does Christ bend down to the dirt to ride in it and set us free? Yes, this is the headship of Christ.
Yeah.
I would even go as this far. Christ submits to our needs, even to the cross. He submits to the cross for our benefit. He submits for our needs. And that is the picture of partnership that we need in our homes. That is this mutual submission we need in our homes, where we would mutually submit not to control one another, not to abuse one another, not to get our own way, but to be like Christ. Husbands, be like Christ. Listen, you want to, if you're going to be the head of this family, be the head of this family as Christ is the head of the church. That's the picture of it. Let me just go ahead and say some other things. I'm just going to say this. I'm going to say, if you are the one who makes all the decisions, be you the husband or the wife, that's not healthy. Y'all need to make these decisions together. And y'all need to find mutual submission in it. And you need to take advantages of your different personality and your different strengths and your different minds and your wisdom. You've got the best of both worlds because God has made you one, yet you are still different people with amazing gifts and callings and abilities. You get the best of both worlds. The promise is, I promise our marriage will be about we and not me. Contract was about mutual what? Distrust. And covenant is about mutual what? Commitment. Let me just be one of the best things I can be. What I'm about to do for in this service. I want to tell you about my wife. I am thankful for Sarah Lewitt. You have no idea how good she is for me. She's good for me. She makes me better in so many ways. I trust her. I've learned to just trust everything she says, everything she does. when she comes to me with something, I trust the motive behind the words. I'm like, say more. Say more. You're smart. How did you end up with me? God's blessing. I trust her. She does not dominate our relationship. There is not a struggle or a fight over who gets their way. There, often we have to fight over who makes the choice, especially when it's going out to eat. Am I the only one? I don't know. Where do you want to go? That one? Anyone? We're the only ones? Okay. I want to tell you that she is so amazing. I want my wife to flourish. I don't want to hold my wife down. I believe my wife is a world changer. I believe my wife can do anything. I believe my wife can be great in the business office, and she is great in the home. She is great on this stage, and she's great in the lobby. She's great, and I'm thankful for her. And I don't want to dominate her. To dominate her would to be diminish my own self, because we are one. To see her flourish is to see Chris Fluitt flourish. To control her would be some stupid stuff right there, to try to control her. But to allow her to be her, allow her to speak, allow her to share her beautiful thoughts, that makes us better. That makes me better in every way. We are very different, and I've learned to celebrate her strengths. I've learned when it's best for Chris Fluitt to get out of the way and say, Sarah, have your thing. Do your thing right here, right? She's got those gifts and abilities in certain areas. And then there's certain areas where she comes to me and says, Chris, you go do this, and I'll go do that. And it's so powerful when somebody stands in their place of gifting and their place of strength, and then they just do their thing. It's a beautiful thing, and I'm so thankful for Sarah. Can y'all give my wife a hand? I love her. Husbands and wives, we have got to appreciate each other, love one another, be committed to every part of each other. And we should do that publicly. Listen, sometimes you have a personality that's like, I have trouble talking in front of people. Okay, now listen. When it comes to your partner, you need to be vocal. You need to be vocal when talking to them. That's the time to say, be vocal about, I'm glad who you are. I celebrate who you are. You're doing a great job. It's not usually my thing to be vocal, but this is so important. I've got to be vocal. And that's one to another. Now go to the next level. Be vocal about how wonderful your spouse is in front of your children. Be vocal about how wonderful your spouse is to your friends. Y'all listen to me for a second. Let's just go there. There is this thing where guys get together and they complain about the old ball and chain. I would tell you, that's not a Christian thing to do. Let me get real about that. I don't play any part in that. I don't know what y'all are going through. I'm sorry y'all are having such a rough time. Let me tell you about how wonderful my wife is for me. I never have to worry about what she's doing. I trust her in every way. You be vocal about these things, right? And wives, be vocal about your husband. When we are vocal about each other in the benefit and towards a commitment with one another, it's powerful. We should be committed to each other even when we are away from one another. And it is a betrayal for you to be vocal against your spouse, away from your spouse. Regina said amen. That was good preaching. Yes. It is a betrayal to speak badly about your spouse, away from your spouse. Right? Who was the first person to complain about their spouse? And where did it give it him? It was Adam. Adam complained about Eve, and then he complained to God that God gave Eve to him. And the rest of his life was miserable, toil and pain, right? Listen, where he went really wrong was in getting away from his number one, which was God, and not honoring his number two, but letting some other number three would take a priority in his life. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Thank you for your attention today. I'm going to be drawing to a close. Got one simple idea, and then I've got a call to action for you. Marriage is measured by, and then I've got a blank. Marriage is measured. How do you measure your marriage? And I would tell you that some people measure their marriage by their financial success. And so they put money in that blank. You know, money is just one of those things. Anybody ever watch a Family Feud? You love Family Feud? One of the answers to Family Feud is always money is a thing. Sex or power is a thing. You can always like get those in. So like a lot of people take that to their marriage, that marriage is measured by financial success. And there's some marriages that they immediately suffer. They'll dissolve because someone loses their marriage and that paycheck takes a hit. Or how about this one? Sexual attraction. Marriage is measured by sexual attraction. A lot of people think that way. My goodness. And imagine having to compete. I'm 44 now. I was 27 when I met Sarah. Imagine if I had to compete with the memory of a 27-year-old me. I can't. Good luck with that. But what if your marriage was measured by how beautiful you are, how good your muscle tone? No, that would be a bad thing. Or how about this? Marriage is measured by fun. Or let's get a little more to the point. Marriage is measured by getting my way. If I get my own way, then this is a good marriage. And then that way, marriage can only be good for one half of the party, right? I want to tell you that marriage is measured by commitment. So if that's true, how's your marriage? What's the health of your marriage like? Marriage is measured by commitment. What do I want you to do with this? Well, I want you to make a move. I've got three things for you. Number one, I want you to remember that Jesus is the best example of partnership. He's the best. He's the best at this. And if you want to be a better husband or a better wife, look at how Jesus honors people, serves people, loves people, even corrects people. How he corrects people is a good example, because sometimes in a relationship we have to correct each other. We're going the wrong path. But to correct people like Jesus corrects us in life. Jesus is the best example of partnership. So what I want you to do is grow your relationship with Jesus now, today, not later this week. In the next few moments, they're going to be singing. It'll be a great time for you to worship Jesus, to pray to Jesus, to say, Jesus, I want you to teach me how to be better at relationships, okay? That's number one. Number two is this. I want you to focus on your partner. I want you to get an answer. Are you living in a contract or a covenant? Have you been living with more of a we mindset or a me mindset? And that will require you to make this change, to go towards mutual submission and to celebrate your differences. Maybe that part where I talked about being vocal, you went, man, I could do that better. Then start. Start today. Before today's over, practice. Practice. You could even say, babe, I want to practice real quick. I think this about you. And I love you because, we talked about that last week, add a because to your I love you. I love you because, and then give a really good reason. Something way deeper than you're really hot. I love you because you've shown me what a good parent should be like. I wouldn't be half the parent I am without you. You've shown that. I love you because you've shown me how to be a strong person, at the same time be a loving person. Add a because to your I love you, and mutually submit to one another, mutually honor one another. God has joined you together, so start living like that. Not as two different people, but as one person in Christ. And then third, be abnormal. Don't be like others. Be completely different. Be like Christ. You want to talk about somebody that was abnormal? They said, that guy's weird. That's what they said about Jesus. Be like that. Be different. Let your marriage be different. You know people that are already headed towards a divorce in their life. You can see it. Why on earth would you follow them? Why on earth would you be like them? You're already doing something really good today if you came together to church. That's abnormal. Keep being abnormal and coming to church. You worship together today? That's pretty weird. Keep that up. Go to a connect group together during this week. You actually open your Bibles and you look to the greatest partner, Jesus Christ, and you start to study that. That is some weird stuff. And that will lead you in weird places where you stay married the rest of your life. That'll take you to some strange places where you'll never get divorced. That'll take you to some wacky places where your kids grow up going, well, I can't wait to get married and find somebody like mommy or find somebody like daddy. Talk about wacky and different. Be wacky and different, just like that. You understand me? And here's how I want you to do that. I want you to come pray. You want to know something that's really abnormal? Coming to church and leaving different. Coming to church and say, I really touched God today. And I really talked to him today. Maybe you do something that you've never done before. You pray together at church. And you pray with each other. And you pray for each other. And he prays for her and says, God, I want you to bless every part of her. And she prays for him and says, God, I want you to bless every part of him. But I want you to make that move today. These altars are open. Begin that music. I'm going to pray for everybody online. When I open my eyes, I want to see this altar filled with people that are reaching out to the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everybody watching and listening. Lord, I want you to bless every heart. Lord, I want you to bless every relationship, God. Lord, you can save a marriage today, God. Help us to be different. Help us to live differently. Help us to honor each other, God. Help us to live not by a contract, but by a covenant. Lord, in Jesus' name, come on. In Jesus' name, we pray it all. Amen. Come on, let's reach out to the Lord. All over this house, would you just stand and begin to worship him and begin to pray? If you want special prayer in this place, come into this altar. We want to pray with you that you'd receive all that God has for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemptionplano.com. We want to hear more from you. So be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or even our anonymous text line at 469-651-1178. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.